Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Matthew Gardner, who's an executive director of the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy and an analyst with Citizens for Tax Justice. So your organization, Matthew, has been cataloguing some of the extraordinary amount of money that major corporations are holding offshore. 92 Fortune 500 corporations have boosted their offshore stash by over 500 million each. And of course, I guess General Electric takes the cake, doesn't it, by keeping 108 billion overseas.
That's right. That's one of the headlines of our report. GE has kept its title as the world champion, I guess, 108 billion. But there are a lot of big names that are really moving a lot of money offshore. Apple Computer, for example, is, I guess, number two with a bullet. They moved an amazing $28 billion in cash overseas last year alone.
And Microsoft moved $16 billion, is that right?
That's right.
I'll just quickly read them if you don't mind. Pfizer, $10 billion, Merck, $9 billion, Google, $8.5 billion, Abbott Laboratories, $8.1 billion, Johnson & Johnson, $7.4 billion, Citigroup, $6.7 billion, International IBM, that is, $6.5 billion, and General Electric, $6 billion. But I thought General Electric was $108 billion.
That's the change just in the last year.
Oh,
the
I see.
The cumulative total is 108.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's a lot of big names. And part of what's interesting about that list that you just read is that some of the headliners there, Apple, Microsoft, Google, these are all among the companies that in congressional hearings here in the States and in Britain as well in the last year have been identified as being suspected of shifting their profits overseas, not in a productive way by, you know, building new infrastructure, producing real products, competing meaningfully in foreign markets, but shifting their profits on paper to low-tax countries like the Cayman Islands or Bermuda, basically putting their money in a suitcase in a post office box rather than engaging in any meaningful economic transaction. So there's a real concern that billions of dollars are shifting offshore in a way that has that is utterly useless, both for U.S. taxpayers and certainly for these companies, except as a tax dodge.
So is this tied in then with the current standoff over the sequester? Matthew Gardner, again, the executive director of the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy and an analyst with Citizens for Tax Justice, who have come up with this information about these major corporations, 92 of the Fortune 500 companies, boosting their offshore stash by over $500 million each. And we talked about how much money they've been stashing offshore. Now, my understanding is that in this standoff over the sequester, the Republicans are basically saying no to all taxes, but then nobody's saying that we want to tax working Americans or the middle class. The administration's only saying we want to tax the wealthy and want to close tax loopholes. And the Republicans appear to be going to the mat for the wealthy on this issue. How much of what the White House is talking about has to do with these loopholes? Are these the loopholes that they're talking about?
Part of the loophole closing proposals that the Obama administration has put forth would take steps to deal with offshore tax avoidance. We think that no one in Congress or in Capitol Hill or even the president is going far enough towards ending this problem of offshoring corporate profits. But yeah, it's certainly part of it. And of course, it should be, because the thing we know is that, and no one disputes this, is that our corporate taxes as a share of the U.S. economy are at just about their lowest level since World War II. Even as you're hearing stories about, the 35% tax rate is what you always hear about. But we know that corporations in general, and particularly the biggest Fortune 500 companies, aren't paying anything close to the 35% tax rate. We did a study 2 years ago showing that if you look at the fattest and happiest of the Fortune 500 companies, the ones that were consistently profitable in the last 3 years, these companies actually paid as a group about 18% of their U.S. income in tax. So, you know, it's absolutely the case that closing loopholes, bringing the corporate tax back to its former health, can play a really vital role in getting us past the sequester and in ending our chronic deficit problems.
So what is these stories that one hears about the new Secretary of the Treasury, Jack Lew, having some offshore money? I mean, is that true? Is this he's going to be part of the problem, not part of the solution? I mean, I don't think he's a rich guy. He's only worked in government, as far as I can tell.
Well, you know, in a way, I think that's probably sort of a distraction from the story. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely, there are persistent stories, no matter who's in power, of fairly close connections between elected officials and the corporations that are supposed to be, that we should be relying on a little bit more to help balance our budgets, whether it's Coate of Honeywell, who's been an advisor to President Obama, or a series of folks, including the Secretary of Treasury during the Bush administration. There's a fairly cozy relationship there that makes it seem, a little unsavory historically. But it's important to remember that, I certainly don't want to demonize these companies in particular or their chief executives. It's important to remember that in the end, the architect of all these tax breaks, GE didn't enact these tax breaks. Microsoft, Apple, they didn't put them into play. To the extent that these companies are engaging in legal tax avoidance rather than, simply putting money in a briefcase in the Cayman Islands, they're doing so because Congress has enacted decades of new tax breaks in a misguided effort to encourage economic development. So, I don't want to apportion blame uniquely to individuals associated with these corporations or the corporations with themselves. Congress needs to take a leadership role in closing these offshore loopholes and closing the U.S.-based loopholes that are allowing many companies to pay nothing despite having billions in profits.
Well, with something like $1.6 trillion offshore, by the end of 2011, it's probably more now. There's clearly the Treasury could, if they were able to tax that money, wouldn't that go a long way to, I mean, we're only talking about the sequester is a total of $84 billion, isn't it?
Sure. And we're talking about a couple hundred billion dollars that could be realized if these profits were brought back. You know, and which makes it, even worse that these companies are so rapidly moving it offshore. You know, they're not dumb. These companies are doing it in many cases because they're betting that Congress is going to repeat an exercise they did back in 2004, giving them what's called a repatriation tax holiday during which they could bring their profits back at a really low tax rate. People talk about 5%. So, these companies aren't dumb. They saw Congress do it in 2004, and now they're lobbying hard for a similar holiday. But Congress really needs to hang tough and encourage these companies to pay corporate tax at the same rate that smaller mom-and-pop companies and middle-income individuals pay.
Again, I'm speaking with Matthew Gardner, the Executive Director of the Institute for Taxation and Economic Policy and an analyst with Citizens for Tax Justice. And you can go to their website to get a picture of how these big Fortune 500 U.S. corporations are hiding billions, trillions, as a matter of fact, offshore. What's the website for them to go to?
It's www.ctj.org.
And given that some of these companies are quite popular, Apple's a very consumer-friendly and popular corporation, and I suppose to a lesser extent so is Google, is there any way to name and shame? Is there any, I mean, are you surprised that there's not more public outrage, that there's not some kind of consumer rebellion, that there's not an argument going on here in the United States about patriotic fairness here in terms of who pays their taxes and The idea that the hard-pressed working and middle-class Americans should be ponying up their taxes, and these incredibly wealthy corporations, many of whom rely on the goodwill of American consumers, are basically laughing all the way to the Cayman Island banks.
Well, I think there might be a couple of reasons there for the lack of outrage, if that's the case. One is that, I think very few people probably expect anything in the way of patriotism from these companies. They are, in the end, multinational companies. You know, they're not really U.S.-linked companies, and many of them are simply not wedded to the U.S. in any meaningful way. I guess the second element is simply that, it's not a new problem. We've been documenting this for over a quarter century, and, you know, some of these companies, GE, or for example, have, you know, that they're always on these lists. And when you see it as universal as Apple and Microsoft, and as we highlighted a few weeks ago, even Facebook, which has managed to completely zero out their federal income tax on $1 billion in profit, I imagine that certain weariness sets in. But I think an additional part of it may simply be that we've been able, you know, in part because Congress has, I think, enabled this delusion, we've been able to sort of fool ourselves as a nation into thinking that we really can hobble along and pay for all our needed public investments without increasing taxes in any meaningful way. And so, you know, we've seen chipping away at the edge a little bit. We've taken back some of the very large Bush-era tax cuts from a decade ago. But the fact of the matter is that the only way we're going to continue to pay for all the important spending needs that we all value is to increase taxes substantially. And once Congress realizes that, once the public then really comes to grips with that, I think you're going to see an awful lot of sympathy for starting with these very large, very profitable companies that aren't paying anything. And then maybe you will see a little bit more of an emphasis on corporate social responsibility and some public shaming.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us here today, Matthew Gardner. Again, give us the website, just because I think this is an extremely important study that people should see, that so many of these powerful corporations are hiding so much money offshore.
The website is www.ctj.org.
And again, I've been speaking with Matthew Gardner, who's Executive Director of the Institute for Taxation and Economic Policy, and he's an analyst with Citizens for Tax Justice, and you can go to their website to study this report. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. We can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.